family members who are with us. Well, we just go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we are just so thankful for this day, this Holy Week Thursday. Father, as we look back on and as we commemorate all that you went through for us, Lord, because you told us you would have done it if it only been just for one. Father, we thank and praise you for being the sacrificial lamb for our sins, O Lord, that we may have life forever with you. Father, we thank your word. You said that I am certain that God, who began a good work within us, will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus returns. Father, we thank you, Jake. You did what was needed. You finished it off on the cross for us, oh God. So we just praise you this morning. We love you this morning. We glorify you, Lord. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor and glory. We thank you for this TMC call. Father, we thank and praise you for the founders of the call, for the D.A. de Leon family, Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon and Dr. P.K. Roberts, Lord, and for the Artists International and the entire Artists International family. Father, we ask, oh God, that you continue to bless us and to order our footsteps, Lord, and as we go through this week, let us not get so busy that we are not reminded, that we do not remember what this week is all about. Father, we thank and praise you for for Pastor Chuck, who will bring a mighty word of God to us this morning that we know will enrich us, that will enhance us and empower us as believers as we begin our day, as we go through this week, as we remember what you did for us on the cross, but more than that, as we remember your resurrection, that we might have life and that more abundantly, that we will be, that we are free. Now, Lord, we command the airwaves to line up with the word of God, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that the airways are saturated by the blood of the Lamb and that it is pure, that the call will go forth with clarity. We love you, Lord, and we daily seek to please you. In Jesus' name, amen. I now turn the call over to our host, my family. I love you. Host, are you there?
I certainly am, Minister Willow. Can you hear me?
I keep my sister, God bless you.
Thank you so much with those tears of joy. Do you hear what the Father is doing with our minister, Willa, that she has just gotten so overwhelmed that he sent his only begotten son to this earth as we celebrate Holy Week? And I just pray that you just appreciate her tears of joy as I'm smiling with my sister. Thank you so much. My name is Bonita Cates, and I'm here in New Jersey. And we welcome you to the Master's Call. We wish you the warmest of kingdom's greetings as we begin our day. You know, this call was founded October 25, 2010, and we are in our fourth year. So we are just so excited that we are here live Monday through Friday. And depending on your geographical location, it is 8 a.m. for us on the East Coast, and you can go Central Standard and specific as we hear from coast to coast. So many of our faithful listeners getting on this telecommunication sanctuary call, and we appreciate each and every one of you as you dial in early and announce yourself, because we are here to enrich, enhance, and empower believers as they begin their day with prayer, as our minister Willa just opened us up in prayer, and we are very, very vigilant when it comes to that. And if you have a prayer request or a praise report that you want to share with us, please take down our new information, and our new email address is info@themasterscall.net. info@themasterscall.net. Now, there you can send that information, and our prayer warrior, Minister Robin Wilson, or one of our co-founders, Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon, will get back to you. Speaking of co-founders, we have two awesome women of God, and one is an ambassador of Artists International. I said Ardyss, A-R-D-Y-S-S. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that in a few minutes. She's an ambassador of Artists International, and I love her dimples because she smiles from her eyes, and she's got such an affection for so many, and she is such a mentor and a leader, and she wears so many hats, and we love on her all the time. We can get a chance to get around her and hug her up, and our awesome, awesome Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon, who we call our Mother Eagle, because she will take you to places you never believed you could soar to, and she will push you out the nest affectionately with love when it's time for you to soar your wings and fly. So we love both of these women that God has put on their spirit to start this call. So you are actually going to hear from Dr. Vanessa a little bit later, because she has a special announcement today. So get prepared for that. We stand on Psalms 88:13, but to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. And I'll say it again. You noticed our minister Willa opened us up in prayer. I'm going to give you some information after we hear the awesome word that's going to come forth from this great man of God, a replay number, a number to share with some other folks. But I want to make sure you have the email address, and the website is themasterscall.net. Now, you can go there and get information about previously recorded messages. We've got some updates. That's a beautiful new website, so we're so excited about it. Go there and peruse and look around and just investigate what's going on there. Today is Wednesday, and after this call, our co-founder, speaking of her again, Dr. P.K. Roberts has the call, the MMC call. She manages that today. Her and our awesome sister Tiffany Lauderdale manages that today, and that'll be after this call. So we have a lot going on as we are in this Holy Week. And we are so excited to feed you and nourish you with the Word of God. I want to make sure, I get this down. Please write this down. We are excited because we are a family. And we will be together June 13 through 15. That is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We are going to be at the Empowerment Conference, and it is hosted by our Kings of Artists, which are just some awesome, awesome gentlemen that are under the umbrella of Artists International, and they each come with a different flavor, and we love each and every one of them. But Matt, put that on your calendar, because we are 57 days away, 57 days and 16 hours. So after this call, we'll be 57 days and 15 hours. But listen, it is something that you're going to want to partake of. You'll have the opportunity to be there a few days after and a few days before to take advantage of the conference rate and bring the family. There are so many things to do. There's the Holy Land in Orlando. No, there is, of course, Disney World, Universal, SeaWorld. So just get it on your calendar now and tuck away a few dollars. It's the website you want to go to is artistempowermentconference.com. Artistempowermentconference.com. Okay. Let me tell you about this awesome man of God. I've had the distinct pleasure of personally meeting this gentleman at one of the Artists International events. He is really a man of God. He is a man of men. He is a father, a husband. He wears so many hats, a mentor to many. He gives us the word. And I tell you, it's a pleasure that we've got the opportunity to have him on today. He's a senior pastor in New Orleans, the Kingdom Builders Family Worship Center. And he is married. I said husband. His beautiful wife is Marcia, and he has two children. I follow them a lot on Facebook. I know his son is just great in basketball, and him and his wife met. He was at Morehouse, and she was at Spelman, so you know how that worked across the street. But they have been together, and they have just prospered in the Word, and he's been pastoring for 6 years plus, and he's a survivor of Hurricane Katrina. I can go on and on and on and on and on, but this is what I really want to get into your spirit. This gentleman is an author, and this book is The Death of a Desperate Woman, plus one. He did the first part. He added on, and that edition is just an awesome, awesome word. So he's going to give you a little information on how to get that book. Share one with someone, because I tell you, go ahead and bless somebody. He and you can be his friend on Facebook. His Facebook, Pastor Chuck Brown, and he's also got his own music ministry, www.kbfwc.org. And to that, I bring forth Pastor Chuck Brown. The sanctuary is yours, sir.
Amen. Good morning, my sister. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank you.
Awesome, awesome. I appreciate you so very much and your ministry and all that you do, those kind words. All of you people of God who are on this line this morning, our founders, we're grateful to God for these wonderful women, these wonderful ladies who've taken step that God gave to them and allowed this vision to not only continue but to flourish. We're grateful for what God has done through Dr. DK, Dr. Vanessa. We're grateful for you. We love you all and appreciate you all so very much. As she was sharing, God has given me this book that has been, by all accounts, just helping people, men and women everywhere, to understand their worth, to understand the gift that they are, from men's perspective, to understand how to treat your gift and make sure that your gift is used in a positive way, that your gift is appreciated, is loved the right way. We want you to check out this book. It officially, the official release date was actually on yesterday. We've had many who asked, well, Pastor Chuck, I got the first one. Should I get the second one? To be honest with you, I would. And the reason why is because of what my sister shared, that there is there are several additional chapters. Even throughout the book, there are so many more nuggets and revelation that the Lord has given to me that I know will bless your spirit. To those of you who ordered the e-books, you've already received the link for the e-books, and those who have ordered the physical copies, they have been shipped out actually on yesterday, and we're grateful for what God is going to do in your life. If you read this book, if you share this book, those of you who have women's ministries, please just let everyone know about it, because the First Ladies all over the country, pastors all over the country have told me how it has shifted the atmosphere of their women's ministry, brought a lot of healing, brought a lot of emotional restoration and spiritual awareness to their congregation, and we're grateful for it. We are ready for this word on today, and I want to minister on something that's going to, I believe, help us in our journey to being those men and women who are walking towards their destiny. In order to walk towards something, you have to let go of where you've come from. And so in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8, I would not dare read it right now, but it says there's a season, there's a time for every season, to everything there's purpose, a season, and this is me using my creative, taking creative license, that there's a season for every time, there's a purpose, there is a time for everything. And the Bible talks about how there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to heal, a time to kill, and it goes on and on and on. God has set everything, made it perfect in its time. And one thing about humanity is God has given us so many different attributes, characteristics, so many traits that cause us to differ from everything else that he's created. And one of those attributes serves as both a blessing and a curse. It's wonderful, and at the same time, it's difficult. And I'm talking about memory. Memory can be a wonderful thing. It allows us to reflect upon how good things are. We can remember great moments that bring joy, the birth of a child, the announcement of marriage, the purchase of our first home, the moment a person you love announces his or her love for you. Memory can bring a smile not only to your face but to your heart. There is, however, a dark side to memory. Memory can remind you of how bad situations have been in your life. It keeps tape of how people have mistreated you. It takes record of abuse and misuse. It holds on to the diary of your soul, notating times and dates that offense and negativity took place. So while this wonderful trait brings smiles, it's also one of those characteristics that brings with it frowns. Memories can make you cry tears of joy or tears of disappointment. Memories make you think of all the good, but it also makes you think of all the bad. It reminds you of the best times, while at the same time the worst times are constantly being replayed as well. And it's with that in mind that this morning I want to minister from this subject, how to move on, how to move on. Has anybody ever dealt with something so traumatic, so heart-wrenching that it keeps you from moving past it? I want to speak to your soul today. The Wisdom Scribe tells us of seasons. There's a time for the duality of life. There's a time to experience one side and then experience the other side of that coin. You can experience the birth of a child and then in the same week encounter the death of someone you love. You can experience the joy of marriage and then within that, those marital rites, experience the pain of infidelity. You can experience the building of a life and the destruction of what you worked so hard to build. I don't want to deal this morning with the good. We do good well. We handle those moments pretty well. I don't believe that I have to teach you to smile when someone does something great. Or you need to do, I need to regale you with the principles of how to rejoice when life brings sunshine to a stormy week. If you're honest, you will admit that we struggle with the other side of the verses. We understand how the time to be born, but we struggle with. It's hard to deal with the time to die. We understand the time to heal, but we have trouble dealing with the time to kill. We understand the time to embrace. But Lord, when it's time for me to let go and turn away, how do I recognize that moment? We understand the time to search, but when should I concede and quit searching? In other words, how do I move past those moments I don't understand? How do I move past those seasons I don't like? Say what you want, but I don't like every season I go through. I don't act like super Christians where I'm excited about being hurt or excited about being abandoned, excited about being lonely and struggling. Said this so many times, I don't have to like it to go through it. I don't have to like it to appreciate it. God, please tell me how to move past those memories that are holding me captive. And I want to give you four things that you need to realize, and I won't take long on this, and then give you one action step to take, how to move on. Let's get ready to move on. The first thing you need to get is this. Number one, your grief is not an indication of your faith in God. Your grief is not an indication of your faith in God. For scriptural reference, you can just jot down John chapter 11, verses 35 through 40. I want to kind of help somebody, because I don't know if you all deal with this a lot in other places, but in New Orleans, this hits my nerve. It hits that nerve, and it gets on my nerve when people do this. Please stop telling people not to grieve when they experience traumatic situations. How do you tell a parent who loses a child not to grieve? How do you tell a sibling who loses a brother or sister not to cry? How do you tell a child who loses his parent not to anguish over the death? I'm so sick and tired of folk who are only super deep when they're not the ones affected by the news. It's easy to say don't cry when it's not your mama in the casket. It's easy to say don't weep when it's not your child. I'm to the point where I even hate going to funerals and hearing people say all the time, this ain't a funeral, this is a celebration. Well, you know what? You still call it, it's still a funeral, even though we're celebrating the memory of the person who has transcended, been translated from one this earth and going on to glory. This is not something that is just so joyful that I'm not supposed to cry. The dilemma arises, Lord, if I cry over what I lose, does that mean that I don't have faith in you? We don't like to talk about this, but it's the truth. God, if I succumb to my emotions, not just now, but even years later, does that mean that I don't believe you? I believe that at times the best message you can give to a person is succinct in its nature, short and to the point. And in John chapter 11, verse 35, we see the shortest verse that was ever written, recorded. Jesus wept. When Lazarus died, Jesus did something. He cried. He wept. But it wasn't just any old cry. He cried to the degree that people were able to tell his love for Lazarus by how he grieved for Lazarus. And what's amazing about this is that Jesus was the one who told Martha not to trip. He told her, listen, Martha, I got this. You just got to believe me. You got to believe that God is going to get glory out of this, but he still grieved, and his grief did not diminish his faith in God. Even though he grieved, he knew that it wasn't over. He cried for that moment, then he got to work on his faith. Even though we grieve, do not let your grief dictate your belief. I grieve, but I still believe. I cry, but I know God is still going to make a way. I hurt, but I still know God will heal me. The other folk were crying without believing God, believing that he would perform a miracle. I'm crying with the knowledge that my tears will not interfere with my miracle. I'm not crying because I don't believe God. I'm crying because of what I lost. My grieving is not an indication of my faith in the Lord. Here's number two. Your disappointment is not an indication of your joy in the Lord. How many of you have ever experienced disappointment? Have you ever interviewed for a job and you left that interview knowing that you had the job, you were impressive, you arrived before time, you had a great discourse about the job, you prayed about it, had others agree with you about it, and you left feeling good only to receive later the news that they went with someone else? That's disappointing. Studied real hard, put in more time than ever before, didn't cram, didn't look for shortcuts, but when you got the test results back, it was never anywhere close. It was not anywhere close to what you thought you would have made. That's disappointed. Sometimes we're disappointed in how we react to situations. Get this, to be disappointed is not to be depressed. I'll say that again. To be disappointed does not mean that you are depressed. Depression, and this is original, depression is disappointment that is fully embraced. Depression is disappointment that is fully embraced. Just because I'm disappointed does not mean that I have given up. God gets disappointed with us, but that does not mean he gives up on us. I'm disappointed with my kids when they don't do what I ask them to do, but I'm still happy that they're in my life. I still have joy. I'm just disappointed in this moment. Listen to me. Never allow what disappoints you to steal the joy of the Lord from you. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's what it reinvigorates us. You only need joy when life, people, things, or circumstances disappoint you. That's why you can't let disappointment attach itself to your spirit. That's why you're mad all the time. You keep letting disappointment latch itself to your soul. Ask God for his joy so that even in disappointing times, you can stay full of his joy. That's how you're able to smile through it. That's how you're able to dance through it. That's how you're able to shout through it. That's how you're able to go through it and move past it and not let it affect you. You can smile, and underneath that smile, tell folk, you have no clue what I'm going through. I don't have to show it because although I'm disappointed, I still have my joy. Here's number three. Your questions are not an indicator of your lack of respect for God. James 1 and 5 lets us know, listen, if you, any man, if any woman lack wisdom, let them ask of God who will give it to you freely. And he's not going to be tripping about the fact that you asked it. God does not trip about us asking questions. Listen, he's not intimidated by them. He does not penalize you for asking them. He's not afraid of your inquiries. Look at what it says. If you need wisdom, ask for it. How many people on this line wish you had asked about some stuff that you regret doing later, you know, in your life? You now look back and say, Lord, I wish I had your wisdom. Well, God is right here saying, you know what, if you need wisdom, I'm here for you. I have you. Pastor Chuck, what are you saying? I'm saying you're in a situation where you don't know what the future is going to be. You don't know what kind of, especially in relationships, you like him, he likes you, she's feeling you. All you have to do is ask God for his wisdom. He's not going to consider your questions disrespectful, because I believe that anyone who's afraid to answer questions is hiding something, and God wants to reveal this to you, not hide it from you. Make sure you understand that, God, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, so I need to ask you. I need to know. I can't lean on my own understanding. Lord, I'm acknowledging you in all of my ways. Here's number four. Your weakness is not an indicator of your strength. And I want to read this from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. It said, right there in the middle, it says that I will boast only about my weaknesses. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so, because I would be telling the truth. But I won't do it because I don't want to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear my message. It goes down to, I believe, verse 10. Three times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weaknesses. And then towards the end of these verses, he says, for when Paul says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Just because I have weak moments does not mean that I'm actually weak. Here's number four. Your weakness is not an indication of your strength. Your weakness is not an indicator of your strength. It doesn't mean that I'm weak just because I've had a weak moment. If I'm always strong, then I don't need God. If I always have the answers, then I don't need his advice for anything. Many of you know about, you know, lifting weights. Sometimes when you're working out, you can do so many reps until you can't lift the weight anymore. There have been times when I've maxed out at certain weights and then went back to super light weights and couldn't lift them because I was weak in that moment. I still had strength, but at that moment I had nothing left to give. I had power, but needed help in that moment. Anybody know what it's like to know that you're strong, but you couldn't, you know, couldn't get through what you normally would be able to get through? You can handle it any other day, but this particular day you can't handle it. Just because I'm weak today does not mean that I'm actually weak. In fact, I begin to see just how strong God is when I get into weak moments. To take it further, I can get excited when I'm at my weakest points because I know that God is about to show the world how strong he is through my weakness. That's why I can say boldly, when I'm weak, I am strong. Here's number five. I gave you four things you need to be aware of, and I want to give you this fifth principle. It's an action principle. The only way to move on is to keep on moving. The only way to move on is to keep on moving. I don't have to stay here long. If you really want to move on, then you have to learn how to move on. It sounds simple, but what I'm relating to you is that the only way to get past where you are is to take another step, and that's the problem with most of us. We don't want to make that next step because now I'm in a place that I'm not accustomed to. But, baby, you have a choice. Stay here or go there. Stay unhappy or take the time to go to a place of joy. Either stay where your mind is always on the problem or take the necessary step to get your mind stayed on him. As long as I'm moving, the devil can't play me. As long as I'm moving, I don't have to stay in the valley of the shadow of death. I'm moving forward so that I can move on. I'm closing with this. Once I was driving from vacation with my family, and we were driving from Florida going back to Louisiana, and we hit a torrential downpour, the kind where you can't see at all in front of you. I was tempted to pull over. I looked at all of the cars that were on the side of the road, and I noticed that the clouds weren't moving fast. It was sitting, the storm was on top of us. So I decided to keep driving because I didn't want to stick stuck in what I was in. I had to slow down, but I wouldn't stop. Some of y'all are still in the storm because you pulled over, you stopped. But I kept pushing even though I couldn't see my way out. I kept pushing even though I couldn't feel it getting better. But after a while, the rain wasn't as hard. Pretty soon it trickled to a drizzle, and 1 hour later I saw the sun, and I was glad that I kept going. And then we stopped for gas, and I looked at my car, and I didn't see any signs of what I had gone through. I knew the rain was serious, but I had no, there were no signs of what I had been through. And that's how it is in life. When you move on, you no longer see what was trying to get you to stop. Tears are gone because I kept moving. Pain is gone because I kept moving. Don't stop. Keep moving. Keep going. And if you keep moving on, God will allow whatever it is that you're dealing with, you will be able to move past it. God bless you. I love you all. You can go to www.infiniteviz.com, infinitevizgroup.com, and order the book, or you can hit me on Facebook, Pastor Chuck Brown, or inbox me, and I'll give you the link. KBFWC.org. You can go there and get the link as well. We love you. There's nothing you can do about it. I'm sharing. I'm turning this call back over to whoever's going to come at this point. God bless you.
Praise God. Thank you so much, Pastor Chuck, for that awesome word. Are you there, Minister Benita?
I am here, Minister Robin. Thank you so much, Pastor Chuck, for that word. And I was just chuckling to myself, moving on. Thank you for those principles. And I'm going to ask you to stay around for the benediction, please, sir. And can we bring the prayer request forward, please?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me, Minister Benita?
I can hear you. Thank you, Minister Robin. Go ahead.
Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for the encouraging words. We thank you, Lord, because we, your people, we're going to move forward, Father. We're going to continue to know that your joy is truly our strength. And, Lord, all the prayer requests that have come forward, you are a God that is faithful. You are a God that keeps your word for generations. You are an everlasting God. You are the same today, yesterday, and forever. So, Lord, you are the healer. You are the deliverer. You are the one who removes blood clots. You are the one who destroys lung cancer and prostate cancer and leukemia in the mighty name of Jesus. You took all of that away from your children, and because of the stripes that you accepted on your body, they are healed. You said healing belongs to your children. You are the one who removed depression. I thank you that your family members, your children, are not depressed. They have your joy, just as Pastor Chuck said, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that urinary tracts also are clear. No type of infections on your people or in your people. Those who have been under attack, Father God, you said vengeance belongs to you. So Joseph is free, Lord God. You set him free, Father. He has the mind of Christ, and he can and he will do all things through you. And Lord God, you give him your peace so that he knows that no weapon formed against him can prosper. They are going to form, but he is victorious. His mother has your favor in the name of Jesus, and those shackles and those chains, they are broken in the name of Jesus, and she will be able to walk through the door that you opened for her to be able to see her son in Jesus' name. Back to you, Minister Benita.
Thank you so much, Minister Robin, for that prayer request. I want to thank Minister Willow for opening us up affectionately this morning. And again, to you, Minister Robin, please take these two numbers down. The replay for Doc Pastor Chuck is 712-432-1085. And use the same pen, 957-677-pound. Write that down. You're going to want to listen to that and share it. Now, immediately after this call is the motivational call, and on Wednesdays it's the ambassador's call. So go right over to there, 530-881-1300. Access code is 539598-POUND. And as I promised you, we would be hearing from one of our co-founders, Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon, our Mother Eagle.
Good morning, TMC family. Awesome, awesome word, Pastor Chuck. I'm going to forego today. It is 7:32, and we do need to get on to the other call, but I do want to speak to our TMC family, so I'll come on tomorrow. So, Pastor Chuck, if you would come on now and give us our benediction, and thank you so much, man of God, for always pouring a rhema word into our spirit.
Amen. Bless you. Father, we're grateful for all that we've experienced this day on this call, this virtual sanctuary. I ask, oh God, that you will bless our lives. We agree with all of the petitions and that requests that were sent up to you, knowing that you're more than able, that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask of things. Bless this day. Oh God, let us go forward with the boldness and the courage to walk by faith and not by sight. Thank you for our lives. Thank you for every door that's going to be open today, every window that's going to be open for us today. Let us walk in your favor and your grace and your love. And we're grateful for it. Continue to protect us and cover us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless each and every one of you.